What is up, everybody? This is the Primal King Podcast, and this is episode number 44. All right, so have a really special guest today, someone who's a little bit different, and I think you're all going to really, really like him. The wisdom in this episode is insane, so let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, welcome back, everybody. So today we have someone on that has an amazing story as well as an inspirational story. So this is someone that went from obese, broke, and no girlfriend to being fit, married to the woman of his dreams, and becoming the founder and CEO of the thriving company called The Billion Dollar Body. He's an international speaker. He's been featured in Forbes. He's the host of The Billion Dollar Body podcast. He was rated top 30 under 30 influencers. He authored the book called The Modern Day Businessman, which talks all about success without sacrifice. Most importantly, though, he's a husband and recently became a father. I want to welcome in Mr. Nicholas Bailey. Thanks again, Nick, Nicholas, for coming on.
Dude, I'm super pumped. I appreciate you putting this whole thing together. Even with my health journey you just talked about, that's what I went into first. And my whole life changed for the negative in my health in one moment. And it all changed for the positive in one moment as well. I literally would not be here on this podcast if those moments did not happen. First off, I wouldn't have a good story if the first crappy moment didn't happen. And second off, if I didn't transform, I'd have nothing to be able to even say to help people. And so just know that for the people listening, if you come expectant, you're listening to the entire thing, I'm hoping to create those moments. Not like another thing to put in your arsenal, but one of those things where you look back and you say, that's when everything changed. And we can create that.
Nice. Well, and that's kind of what I want to dive into, because obviously we've been friends on Facebook and been following along for a few years now. Take us back to a few years back. You're overweight. You were cleaning carpets, right, for a living. So yep. What was it? Because I think a lot of people that, you know, reach out to me in regards to the podcast, they're always looking for that aha moment or that breakthrough, right? If we want to go Tony Robbins. But like, so there you are, you're overweight, you're single, you're in a job that you don't like. First of all, what was life like for you at that point before you made the transition?
Totally, dude. This is what's so wild is you look back and you have all these memories of who you were, and you're like, I'm still the same guy, but everyone treats me different, and I get all these different opportunities, but it wasn't always that way. I remember when I couldn't ride in the elevators as the people that even owned a home in the building that I was cleaning. I had to wait till all of them were gone, and then I finally could get in the elevator, and I was looked at like a freaking toxic cancer. I couldn't even park in the front because I got to park in the back because it was too embarrassing, and I get the police called on me. To the point where I got into entrepreneurship, dude, I was around some of the cool influencers, and most people like me, a carpet cleaner, probably wouldn't have made it. You know, like they probably knew that. So a lot of times they'd be like, I remember being told, Nicholas, just don't say anything. Like when we go into the room, just don't talk, just listen. And I'd go in there, and I remember one time I made one comment. I was like, you know what? That's so good what you said. And I told a story. I was like, finally, something I know. And everyone kind of looked at me like I was an idiot. And I just remember this feeling of like, oh my gosh. Now these are all the same. Don't even remember that they're inviting me on the podcast, telling me to come on these shows and all these things. And I'm like, dude, what the – like, I just remember when I was treated so differently, and I'm still the same kid that was driving around in a carpet cleaning van, smelling like exhaust, couldn't afford a haircut, had a $25 a week budget with my wife and I. It's all that we had. And I drove on the road for 2.5 years, only eating out twice. I packed every meal, only ate out twice at Chipotle when I had to work overtime. That's how disciplined I was with it. So just a little bit of the synopsis of like the process of what I went through is that when I was in high school, I graduated 1.8. And the only reason I graduated is because I went to summer school every single year. And throughout that process of me growing up, my only dream wasn't to be an entrepreneur. My dad was a business owner. He didn't make it sound like it was that amazing. It wasn't like my one dream, but he did tell me that if he had a weed whacker and a lawnmower, he'd always be able to get by, even if his business was gone. And it's that whole exchanging value for money. Like there was something that people needed, and if you did it, they would pay you for it. So I actually had a few $1,000s in my savings account at 12 years old, because that's what I did. So I did the weed whacking, lawn mowing, lawn care. So I learned that from my dad, but it wasn't sexy. I wanted to be a pro motocross racer. That's what I wanted. But me and my dad had a huge falling out. And this falling out was like, basically, I just gave up on life. like one thing that he said to me, that one moment that shifted everything for me. And really it came down to him telling me, you'll never be the best. I put myself out there vulnerably to get acceptance from my father. He said, you'll never be the best. And I just remember sitting there like, that was the straw that broke camel's back. I ended up playing video games, becoming completely addicted to video games, not going outside basically for 4 years. I had 365 days played on one game, days played on the computer, sitting in a chair. We're talking an average of over 10 hours every single day, even while I was going to school. No wonder I gained 60 pounds. I gained 60 pounds, didn't have that girlfriend. But after I lost the weight, which is so interesting, the way that that happened, and for people that think that your message has to be this like super crazy polarizing thing and you have to be the best speaker in the world to be able to change someone's life, no. I went to school, same sweatshirt that I wore every day because I was fat, embarrassed, same pants that I wore because they were the only thing that gave me confidence, same underwear that I always wore, even if I had to wear them multiple times because the only underwear that fit me without making my love handles fall out. And I'm sitting there with my man boobs taped down. I'm just telling you like everything. Literally, I put scotch tape over my man boob, taped them down so that people wouldn't like, oh, like look at your nipples popping out and all these things. I only wore like, it was terrible. Only wore shirts with holographics and all these things on it. Sweatshirt. This guy brings out a bag of fruit. Normally, I wouldn't say anything. And this is what's so crazy about insecurities is most people, they never get their message out there because they have insecurities. And if they put themselves out there, that's a chance for someone to attack them. So even for me to say, why did you bring that fruit to school? It was an opportunity for people to attack me because I gained 60 pounds. I was fat and out of shape. My issues, which most people's maybe not have an issue in that area, but my issues were in plain sight for everyone to see. I'd be like, oh, I eat healthy and I exercise. Like I have a great mindset. Like, no, you don't. Like I didn't have a good mindset. It was easy for everyone to see. Whereas someone else, like maybe watching porn every single night or cheating on their wife, they can hide that for a while. Does that make sense? Like just to make it pretty polarizing. So this kid said, oh, I had a meal plan and my trainer put me on a meal plan. And so I'm following this plan to weigh in at the correct weight. I'm a boxer. And I literally left and followed that plan, changed everything me. I was like, a plan to follow to get success. So that's what got me the confidence to go out there and connect my father again. And then I ended up meeting my wife. We ended up going to the same school afterwards. We got married after 1 year. So now I'm 20 years old. My wife's 18. We're married. No income, never had a job before. And I'm like one of those particular dudes that like, if a company's not doing things the right way, I'm not going to work for them. So I got into coffee, did all these crazy things. I'm like, I'm never going to work for these coffee companies. They don't do it the right way. I need to do it this way. And so I went into network marketing as our first company with some friends of ours, Brian and Kaylin, who run Lady Boss now. And that's where we all met. We were in the Arrive by 25. We did really well that year and then lost everything. The company went down, lost the income. That's when I went into carpet cleaning. So at this point, I lost the weight, I was married, but I couldn't provide for my wife. And I thought I was going to be retired, dude. I literally told people, listen, I'm 20 years old. I'm retired. Because you always say like you have this passive income from network marketing and your ego is pretty big. Like the first month you get your BMW, you're driving this nice car. Now you're doing all these things. And then all that's taken away. I'm driving my wife into debt and I'm sitting there cleaning carpets every single day. And I remember just losing my confidence here. I lost my confidence. I lost my identity because I was allowing my external environment to dictate who I was, rather than allowing my internal identity to shift my external environment, which is very, very common. So imagine going to networking events. Before I was, oh, I'm retired because my external environment was going pretty well. Now I'm a carpet cleaner, a broke carpet cleaner at that. On average, I made probably $1,250 a month working full time. I still have pictures in my head of paychecks for $323, $256, $420-something was like, we were killing it that week. Like we were going to go out and like, eat pizza, not at happy hour that week. Like that was the mindset that we were in. And I just remember like sitting there going to networking events. And if I had to pay for parking, I'd go home. The decisions that I was making were literally shaping my entire life. I went to an event that was for free, $30 parking, 2-day event, wouldn't even go. Dropped my wife off, sat on the curb for 4 hours because I didn't think the information in the room was more valuable than $30. I thought I was winning because I had tried those events before. For people out there that are listening right now, and this is your first podcast, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I'm going to go kill it. Dude, you're going to get punched in the face. And then you're going to go back, hesitation. Oh, I invested in a mentor, but man, like then I failed. So like, I you know what I'm going to do? Not invest in a mentor this time. Make sure I cut all my expenses and I do it the real, real hard way. So all of a sudden, 2.5 years later, I'm cleaning carpet, no further progress. I literally only had a goal. I'm talking like 6 years ago, dude. I got around entrepreneurs again. I went to a networking event and they were all just like spitting quotes. They were like saying like, whether you think you can or can't, you're right. And they were like, oh, like my webinar registration, like people didn't show up. And I was like, man, like I just want to be able to talk the lingo. Like at this point I had such small goals. So I was just like, man, I just want to like talk business. Like that just sounds so cool. And so I just remember like making these investments ourselves, and I don't really get to talk about this stuff that often. So I appreciate you bringing it up and the long-winded side of it. The whole point was that one day it was so interesting. My dad in 2008, we ended up, my dad had this business, carpet cleaning business. And at the time there was this other guy that also was in a carpet cleaning company that made shifts in 2008. And we're seeing this like this time right now where it's time to make some shifts and adjustments in business. And my dad didn't like, he tried to make sure that he just tried to let things blow over. And we ended up claiming bankruptcy in 2009, whereas this other guy ended up creating a company that now is called Genius Network that has like 400 people that invest like $25,000 a year, made these huge pivots. And I remember sitting there in my carpet cleaning van thinking like, man, I'm going down the same route my dad did. Like I'm doing the same thing, trying not to, but whatever you focus on, you're going to attract. Whatever you focus, you're going to start gravitating towards. I literally created the same life as my dad after I had all those issues. I sat there one day and I just remember like my wife calling me. She was at an event and I was staying back carpet cleaning. And she says, Nicholas, there's this thing. It's 5,000 bucks. Like, I totally think we need to buy it. And at the time, like I knew that if I were to tell my wife no, I had already lost because I didn't trust her. She would never come to me with an opportunity. And that was a mastermind, dude. And literally that shifted my life forever. Like I had no belief in myself, no people around me. I had nobody that I could ask for advice on my business and what I was doing. I was completely alone. I had no reason why people would ever hang out with me. I had no money. I wasn't successful. And I just created that identity. When I got in that room, people believed in me. People saw my vision and they believed in the vision. They gave me the advice that I needed to shift everything. And literally, we have never had a not profitable month since that mastermind in the beginning of 2016. I cleaned my last carpet in 2016, made that transition over. And yeah, like I said, every single month since then, we've had a profitable month.
So one of the things that's fascinating to me is you go from cleaning carpets and kind of having like some of the confidence stuff, right? And I think that a lot of people deal with that when they're like, okay, why would someone pay me to work with me when I'm doing this? So yep. What type of a mindset shift did you have to go through in order to be like, you know what? I can help somebody. Like I am worthy of them paying me to work yep. with me.
So now I'm literally the product of the mentors that I've had. So I want to stress that real quick because I'm 28. I don't know it all, but I run a company that reaches millions of people every single year. And I've been able to make a dramatic shift in my life without knowing it all. Only having one kid that's a boy that's 6 months. So I don't know how to raise a girl. But I talk about kids, talk about family. I talk about relationships. I've only been married for 8 years. There's other people that have been married for 50. I want to beat the world record is one of my goals, by the way. You know, I'm 5'6", 5'7", and I was in the health industry, 150 pounds. I couldn't just take pictures of myself and all these different things. And so inside of that, one of my mentors of 10 years now is a Navy SEAL instructor. He's worked on Transformers, Iron Man, 13 hours. He's taught Tom Cruise how to shoot guns. Like amazing guy. His name's Jansen. And now he runs security for Joe Rogan. And so one of the things that he taught me is there's two different types of identities. You have your identity of your internal identity. Who are you? And you have your earned identity, which are things that you've accomplished. So if you've like become a millionaire or won the Super Bowl or became a Navy SEAL, you've now earned that identity. And that's something that you now have and no one could ever take it away. But then you have this internal identity of who you are. And what was so interesting is there's a few things. One, I thought I had to be the guru about everything. A guru is someone who's done it before. Now you're showing other people how to do it. Well, at 22 years old, when you're trying to launch your business and you're trying to help people out, you're like, I haven't really done anything. How am I supposed to get up there confidently and be like, I have a six pack? People are like, well, you're 22. No wonder you have a six pack. I'm like, but I lost weight. And they're like, but you're not fit enough. And you have all these issues that come your way and all these things that disqualify you. And so one of the things that I did at first is I realized I didn't have to be the one who knew it all. I started bringing in experts in health, experts in business, experts in family, experts in relationship. I launched podcasts around that and I was like, I'm not going to be the guy who knows everything. I'm going to bring in people that know everything. And now I've learned some things and I stick to those things that I do know. It's given me massive confidence. But here was the biggest thing for me that people can do. I remember sitting there in my house one day and I wasn't confident to get on podcasts like this. I wasn't confident to get on stage. I wasn't confident to run my own events. I wasn't confident on my sales calls because I looked at everyone and everyone in the world pretty much was more successful than I was. Couldn't afford a haircut. Everyone was more fit than me in my competition. They were more rich than me. Everyone made more money than me. That's just what my mindset was. I was like, why would successful people want to listen to me, hang out with me? Why would people want to listen to me in general? How can I be confident if I really haven't ever done it? That's called faking it till you make it. So I laid down on the carpet one day, dude. True story. I laid down on the carpet in the house, turned on music, and I said, God, until I can see my future and where I'm going and who I'm going to become, I'm not leaving this spot. I will die in this spot, not eating, not drinking until I see that. So I just sit there and I start visualizing. And all of a sudden I started seeing little things about like, oh man, like I see myself on the front of this yacht and I saw my whole family on the yacht. And for me, I come from a broken family. My parents broke up when I was 4. I have stepmom, stepdad, stepgrandma, stepgrandpas. Like I don't even know how to name them all. And so the boat was like almost a symbolism of my family stuck on it. We're in the middle of the ocean. No one can get off. Everyone's connecting. And I always felt like I was going to be left. I had all these things. And I started seeing not what I had. It wasn't about the boat. It wasn't about the car. I don't know if things are going to be floating by this time. I have no clue. But what I do know is how I felt and who I was. So I started asking myself questions as I started visualizing who I was becoming. So it wasn't fake it till you make it. I started seeing who I was. And I remember started visualizing like, would he be confident in what he's saying? Yeah, he totally would. Would he be afraid of saying the wrong thing? Nah, because he's pretty confident in what he knows, but he's okay being wrong. Does he care if people reject him? Nah, he's got his family. He's good. Like he doesn't care if anyone rejects him. Does he care if people don't agree with him? And I start asking myself all these questions. And then people always say, allow that future self to mentor you. Like, who's your future self? Allow that to be your mentor. Dude, I didn't do that at all. I literally in that moment said, what if that guy changed places with me? What would life be like? Would he know how to build the business? Yeah, because he's already done it. Would he know how to speak? Yeah, because he's already done it. Would he be knowing the beginning from the end. People always say, oh man, if I could just go back to when I was 10 years old and re-go through high school with what I know now, it'd be crazy. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I started to do. And it was so interesting because in that moment, I started feeling immense amounts of confidence, but it actually went back to when I met with Gary Vee, 2015, right before that. I sat down with him and he said, Nicholas, you know the difference between you and I? He's like, I already know where I'm going, so I'm not afraid to fail. I make quick decisions because I can always fix a bad decision, but you can never fix indecision. Good and bad decisions, great. He's like, I already know I'm going to buy the Jets. I already know where I'm going. So if I mess up, I don't care because I already know the beginning from the end. And I caught the beginning of it from the end. And that allowed me to become the person where I could show up to these networking events and be like, this is what I'm doing and this is where I'm going. I didn't care if anyone supported me. I didn't care what anyone else thought because I already knew I had tasted and seen what was already going to happen. And then all of a sudden, my internal identity, my internal belief started shifting the world around me. That confidence in the speech allowed me to start landing more clients. That confidence in my message allowed me to start building a following. That confidence on the podcast, like, I would have never done this, but guess what I do every time before I get on a podcast like this? Every single time I go, what would he do? Would he show up here knowing exactly what he's going to say, energized? Would he care about what anyone thinks? Absolutely not. And so every single time I step into that identity, I don't allow my future self to mentor me. I switched places with him a long time ago. I decided to live my life already knowing what it's going to look like at the end. So I don't care if I make a sale, don't make a sale, get an opportunity, don't make an opportunity, because I already know what the end result's going to look like. And I have confidence in where I'm going, not where I'm at, because that can always shift. I always tell people, dude, check this out. If I were to give everyone listening right now $1 billion, I put in your bank account. And you know, if I had $1 billion in my bank account, the first thing I would do is if I'm with friends, I'd open up my bank account and I'd set my phone down without turning the screen off, you know, like so people could see. Oh, you caught a glimpse that I have $1 billion in my bank account? Oh, okay. You know, if you get a hater, what do you say? Oh, yeah, but who's got a bigger bank account? You know, like, let's see. And you'd have this confidence, this swagger. You maybe go dressed in different clothes. You'd probably buy a different house and you become this different person. And then imagine I just ripped it right out of the account. Oh my gosh, like my identity's gone. Like all my confidence is gone. My question is this. Do you know less than you did just a minute ago? Are you a different person than you were just a minute ago? And so many times I work with people that have had failed businesses and they lose all their confidence. I go, are you smarter than you were 2 years ago? Do you know more? Are you a better person? Have you grown as a person? Wait, so you're telling me that you actually are better and you know more, but you were only confident because of your current environment. And that's already a failing equation, dude. It's like, how do you get out of a lack of success to get to success if you can only be confident when you're up here? That's why people stay at the bottom. They say, without a vision, a man perishes. They say that in the Holocaust, people stayed alive because of the hope for the future. And until you grab a hold of the future and know where you're going, you always repeat and go back to your past.
One of the most fascinating things, and I've been around a lot of masterminds, I've, you know, Tony Robbins and all these different people. I've actually never heard someone say, allow your future self to mentor you. That to me is just like amazing, because I think so often because I always look at like depression and anxiety when we're looking at ourselves too much, right? Like we're comparing ourselves to others. We're maybe not as far along as what we think we should be. And it really allows us to just kind of start feeling bad about ourselves, get anxious, get depressed. But so then kind of the other side of that is, okay, what do I do then? Do I compare myself to somebody that I want to reach up to? But then it's like, no, but you know, it's like, I want to start a podcast. Do I really want to be Joe Rogan? No, I'm not Joe Rogan, right? Like, do I really want to be so-and-so? No, because they're different than me. But I freaking love, and I hope that everybody out there took note of that, because if you can see where you want to be and then allow that person to mentor you, I mean, how can you go wrong, right? Because it's you.
And your mind doesn't know time. This is why they, at all these events, what do? They say, hey, use your imagination. Imagine right now that you had a lemon in your hand. And imagine you put that lemon in your mouth and you squeeze it and you can taste it. And everyone's mouth is watering, the ones who can actually imagine it.
Yeah.
But there is no lemon. It's fake. It's not real. Yet the secret, all the way from freaking Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, is he says, like, goals that have not been emotionalized are just a wish. So he's like, put yourself in your house that you want to live in. Put yourself on the stage that you want to speak on, but don't just have a goal about it. Experience it now. Like, experiencing the reality. So for me, it wasn't about the things that I accomplished or any of that. I just had to experience this level of success. Like, if you want a fit body, the first thing that we had all of our clients do was draw out exactly what they want. And we'd literally take them through a bit of music where they'd help them visualize it as if they were like running across a finish line and they'd hit all these goals and all their family and all these supporters were there to like cheer with them. They were like getting emotional and crying because they were feeling the experience of like, they already had the transformation. They had already experienced the feeling of the transformation. They had already seen it in their mind. And now all of a sudden, our subconscious mind starts seeing opportunities and starts creating pathways to create and sustain that reality. Like when I used to eat bad food when I was 60 pounds overweight, that was my watermark. Like microwave pizzas, you know, chicken nuggets, mini corn dogs, potato skins, Schwann's, frozen section. That was my reality. But now, my bad day of eating would have been my best day back then because I've created a new standard, a new watermark that I live by, that my mind doesn't even think about those other things anymore. And what I found is that when you start seeing that, and again, your environment can do this as well. Like you want your environment to echo the things that you're actually believing internally. I remember when I was 20 years old and I wanted to make $10,000 a month, I looked at people that made $10,000 a month and I thought they were a god. I was literally afraid to say hi to them. You can ask my wife. I was like, do I take a picture with them? Like, this is insane. I had never heard that before. And I was making about 1K a month, 2K a month. And then all of a sudden I started getting around people that were making 10K before breakfast. Had a friend who's like, I don't eat breakfast until we pass 10K. And I was like, I'm going to do the same thing. And after not eating for 3 days, I decided to like lower the goal a little bit. And I was like, all right. And I started making 1, 2K a day, 3K a day. And I started seeing like, I was a product of the environment and the expectations that I had, but my environment was echoing what I was doing. I didn't keep myself in a bad environment and say, well, it's all internal. I'm going to change my environment. No, I wanted things to fuel me. People say, put money around your house, right? Like put healthy food in your house. That'll probably become pretty easy too. Probably easier to get fit when you put healthy food in the house. You know, don't have pornos playing on your house if you don't want to cheat on your wife. Like those are probably good things to do. Remove the crappy environment. Yet what I found is that you start seeing it. Start seeing the fit body. You start seeing where you want to be and your brain is like trying to figure out ways to get there. It starts recognizing, highlighting opportunities. I call it like the Lamborghini syndrome. If you want a Lamborghini, well, when you want a car, you start seeing it everywhere. They were already there, but now all of a sudden you're seeing them. But if you're in the middle of nowhere, you ain't going to see a Lamborghini. Like if you're in the middle of, I don't know, West Virginia, is that a good one?
Idaho.
If you're in the middle of West Virginia, you probably aren't going to see a lot of Lamborghinis. But if you go down to Rodeo Drive, you're going to see them everywhere. So it's not only just being aware of opportunity. What do you You'll start seeing these huge deals, opportunities everywhere, but also putting yourself in an environment where those opportunities can come about. And again, these are just the foundations. I feel like everyone does this. You look at fighters and you look at athletes, like they already know and can see being on top. And if they expect to be on the bottom, well, then probably they're going to prepare that way. It's going to change their actions. It's going to change their mentality, and they're going to create the very reality that they don't want. And that's how most people live. Instead, create the reality that you do want.
So what would you tell someone? Because I know that there's a lot of people out there that maybe they're in a job they don't like, and they're like, okay, sweet. Like, I can visualize the money. I can visualize the success, the wealth, whatever, right? Like, they see it, but they're just like, I don't have a clue how to get from A to B. Like, do I need to go be an influencer? Do I need to go and start an online marketing business? Do I, you know, like the people who maybe have those goals, but they don't have the vehicle yet. Yeah. Like, do you take people through some way to figure out how to actually get that put together?
Yeah. So the first thing for the people listening, that you have these big goals, but you're in a comfort zone of something that you don't like. They call it like the golden bars, right? Like a golden prison cell or something like this. I never got the ability to experience that, but I could assume that feels pretty comfortable in there. The first thing that I would say is just quit, dude. Like, you don't want it. Like, you don't, that you can talk it. Like, dude, I used to sit there when I was cleaning carpets, and every meeting that I went to, I'd tell them, hey, yeah, I'm Nicholas Bailey. I'm going to consult all local carpet cleaning companies, 10 of them. We're looking to take them to seven figures. And then once the economy goes down, I'm planning on buying them all up, and I'm going to have the biggest carpet cleaning company in the US or in San Diego. And everyone's like, oh man, this guy's legit. That's awesome. Dude, I was BSing completely. And it wasn't until I went to a mentor of mine and told him that same thing, Yost, who came back from deployment, the Navy SEAL. I said, dude, yeah, I'm going to consult these carpet cleaning companies, take them seven figures and buy them. And he goes, you haven't changed. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I just talked big game. Like, this is exciting. And he looked at me and he said, no, you haven't changed since the last time I left. You need to change something because you're not growing anymore. And I just remember that cutting me deep, dude. It was just as deep as my dad had cut me years before that, but I had grown enough to just like accept the cut. And I decided in that moment, that mentor is never, and nobody's ever going to look at me again and say, you have not grown or changed. And so right now it's okay if you don't want it bad enough, but I guarantee you, if you get past these visions of what you think you need to do and what society tells you you need to do and what entrepreneurship says you need to do, and just say, like, figure out what you really, really want. Because if you really figure out what you really, really want, there will be no excuse of the things you want to do to be able to get it. But so often we sit there and go, yeah, I want to do internet marketing. Yeah, it'd be really cool. And they say what they want. So there's three phases that I go through generally. And there's logical side we go afterwards, so remind me. But what do you want is a great place to start. What do you want? And maybe it's the life that you want. Maybe you've seen someone who has the life that you want. You're like, this is what I want. And let's say I said, hey, do you want to be a LeBron James, like a professional basketball player? Everyone would be like, shoot, heck yeah. Like, that sounds pretty cool. Like, make a bunch of money to play games all day. And I'd be like, okay, why? That's the next step. Why do you want that? And they'll tell me. And if the why isn't big enough, the last place is usually what a mentor can show you, a plan can show you, someone who's already done it can show you, which is the how. What, why, how. And generally what happens is those are not aligned. So people tell me what they want, but it actually doesn't align with their future, what they actually want out of life. Usually if they become successful, it's a life that they hate. So they just create another life that they hate because they don't really know why they want it. So if they don't have the why, they won't do the how. Because if the why is big enough, you'll do whatever it takes. So what would I say about LeBron James? All right, here's the plan. You told me you want to be like LeBron. Okay, now you got to play basketball 18 hours a day, every single day for the next 20 years with a 0.0001 chance of being able to make it. But there's a chance. But if you want it, you can go get it. And they'd be like, I can't do that. So people do this with their health. They think, oh, I want to be shredded, but I only want to work out 30 minutes a day. That's all my why is good for. Well, it's incongruency. And it's okay to pull back your goals and be like, all right, like, out of my health, this is what I want. This is why I want it. I have a strong why to get there. And then what's the how? And when those align and you're like, okay, I'm willing to put in the 30 minutes a day to be lean and healthy. But if you want to be an Olympic athlete, it's going to take more. And people have this huge expectation to get a lot for little and don't have those things aligned. So once we figure out, okay, what do you want? What do you want out of life? one of the quotes that people can write down is, sometimes you have to learn how to play other people's music before you learn how to write your own. So I didn't know what I wanted. So I was like, man, I see these people, these mentors out there that they have the life that I want. They're spending time with their family. They're making money that allows them to live the lifestyle they want. Then I started looking at, how did they get there? What steps did they take? And that's like learning how to play an instrument. It's like, all right, I need to learn the chords, and then I can learn like other people's music. Like I can learn how to play someone else's song. But after a while, it's time to graduate to the next phase and write your own music that's in your own genre and figure out what you want. So once you get clear on that, then it's again, aligning the what and the why and the how. Generally, how I do that is, what type of life do you want? This is what my wife and I did. And what things do you not want out of life? Most people can answer that one. When I got married and I started a business, the reason I did is because I was like, I don't know what I want out of life, but I definitely know I don't want to be away from my wife. So what are my options if I don't want to be away from my wife? Work together or work in a job together? Like, well, we should probably just work on a business together. So what don't you want out of life? X all those out. What do you want out of life? Write them out. Brainstorm. What are all the ways that you could get there that you possibly know right now? Perfectionism is needing to know all the answers. Excellence is doing the very best that you can based on the current knowledge and resources you have right now. So with excellence, write down, what are all the ways you get there? And don't say surface. If you want to connect families, you might go, well, I'm going to be a family coach. Well, you could start a restaurant too. Not that it'd be the best right now, but restaurants get families together. So think about ways that you could accomplish that goal. Then from there, I try to figure out, what am I good at? What are my skill sets? And what do I have the capacity to become great at that I would love to sharpen my sword in that area? What do I like to do? What are things that I enjoy that make me come alive? Because those might be a little bit different. And when I use this, I use it like car gurus for the guys that are listening. And I use it like Nordstrom's for the women that are listening. Sorry, just kidding. But like the filter, right? You're like, I'm a size 7 or I'm a size 9. Or for the guys, it's like, I want a car that's a BMW, that's an M5, that's 2016 to 2021. And then what's it spit out? Answers. And so I'm very big on clarity. That's what's given me the ability to have consistency inside of BDB. I believe the reason why we've been able to produce the money that we produce, speak on the stages, build trust with people is because we've been consistent. We haven't started and stopped a billion times. And the reason why is because I figured out, what don't I want out of life? What do I want out of life? What are the different ways that I could possibly get there based on my knowledge-based skill sets and my friendships and my mentors speaking into that? What do I like to do? What am I good at? What do I have the capacity to become great at? How can we work on that together? And what answers spit out at the bottom? And out of like the 500 things I could ever think of, there's really only like 3 left. And I consistently am making sure that I'm going down that journey of, am I staying aligned with this? Because I felt it before. Like, it's not always going to be perfect. I've ran programs and done events and sold things that I don't like. And I don't continue to do it. I'm willing to X all of it because I know that if I'm operating in things that I love to do, that I'm great at, that I have a capacity to become great at, I'm going to flourish at it. Same with employees. It's like my biggest thing is that we get them in, constantly ask, do you like what you're doing and are you great at it? Do you have the capacity to become great? We keep pushing them towards things that make them enjoy things and that they're great at. And so they're happier and they're producing more. And I'm always just trying to get people in that same exact place, from the carpet cleaning company, the flooring company, or agency, or BDB. Same thing every single time. So hopefully that gives people a little bit of clarity. Again, your environment will dictate that. I went into internet marketing because I accidentally went to an internet marketing event. But I look at those things as like part of the story. Wow, like if I didn't show up at that event, then this wouldn't happen. So last thing, there's 2 different types of moments in everyone's life. Inconsequential and defining moments. Inconsequential are things that don't matter, right? You like wake up in the morning, what cereal you eat doesn't really matter. It doesn't change your life. You have no clue. Like, you look back, you don't even remember it. Then there's defining moments, the ones that shift everything forever. And those moments generally for me have always happened outside of my comfort zone. Many times we stay home when other people go to events. We don't go to that networking event. We miss that coffee because it was easier to stay back. We like, think about all these. My life has been transformed from putting myself out there in environments where things can happen. If I didn't go to that event, I wouldn't be starting this business. So constantly ask yourself, is what I'm doing inconsequential or a defining moment? And where can I search for defining moments where things could change forever? Where it's uncomfortable and you wake up at 7 and you go to that Chamber of Commerce meeting, even though it's uncomfortable, because sitting in your bed is inconsequential. But there's an opportunity for things to happen when you're outside of that environment and in a defining moment.
Good stuff, man. I love it. I love it. So speaking of defining moments, I know that you and your wife, Amanda, you guys have been married now for eight years now? Yeah.
Yep.
So the funny thing is that me and my wife have been together now for 19 years, I want to say, been married for 13. So basically we got together about the same time that you guys did, only we didn't hop into marriage right away. We dated for the first 5 years. And I'm telling you, man, like the fact that you got married at 20 and stayed married through like that 21, 2, 3 years, like those are some big years. So as you look back, and I know that you talked about like being young and newly married, like you were going through things in your marriage at that point that I think a lot of people go through and then they get married, right? Like there's so much growth that happens from 18 and 19 to 24, you know, like lives and jobs and careers and all these things. So, you know, because you have made it through there and, you know, it looks like you guys have an awesome marriage. You know, when I see you in person, you always seem happy and everything else. Like, what do you think it is? Because I look back and, you know, with me and my wife in that time, like she had lost her brother to cancer and, you know, we moved from one side of the state to the other and, you know, job changes and all this stuff. And it was brutal. Like, honestly, it was brutal. There was a couple times where it's like, I don't know if we're going to make it. And we weren't even married yet. Right. So when you look back through that time and through your marriage, like maybe if there are people out there that are going through a tough time right now, obviously with COVID and everything else, people are cooped up. Like, yeah. Like what's your advice to people that are going through some of those life-changing moments within marriage, not just themselves, but within marriage?
Totally. Great question. And for the people listening, I'll let you know or say something if I learned it from my mentor or what they said. And if they're credible, I'll say that. Outside of that, I don't say anything that I've learned. I only say things that I've done or experienced because I feel like it's not fair for me to sit here and say, oh, this is what you need to do because I read it in a book. Dude, no, that's not what I'm going to do. And so one of the benefits that I had and one of the things that we teach inside of our coaching is that if you can do something when things are hard, so if you're married when things are hard, you'll always be able to be married when things are easy. But if you wait till life is easy to do something, as soon as it's hard, it's going to fail. So if you wait to get fit until you have time, well, then as soon as you don't have time, you're not going to be fit. And so that it was a great sales pitch as well. I was always like, people would always say, man, now's not a good time. It's really hard. And I go, yes. I'd like freak out on the call. That's amazing. And they're like, what is wrong with this guy? And be like, well, if we could do it when it's hard, you'll never need me when it's easy. But if you wait till it's easy, as soon as it gets hard and I'm not there, you're going to fail. And they'd always go, oh man, this is amazing. And second thing is my wife and I got to go through the experience of being broke together and creating success. And so it wasn't like I waited until I had my life together before we got married. And so when I got married, this is what I just was talking to my barber about. Is that he's seeing me, I just bought a home whenever this is coming out, and seeing like me live this dream that he couldn't even imagine. And I was like, dude, listen, I caught this fly when I was sitting there getting my haircut. Caught it. He's like, how the heck did you catch the fly? I was like, you get really good at that when you live right next to a freaking dumpster in a one bedroom apartment that's 400 square foot with no AC in East County, San Diego. It's 110 degrees. I was like, every single day being waking up by a mailbox because right outside my bedroom window was the mailbox for the entire complex with such thin blinds, cheap blinds that you literally could see in my bedroom every single time someone went and got the mail. And I'm like, that is the stuff that my wife and I got to go through. So when I'm sitting here building a business and people are like, man, like I got married, I had this great job, but if I go into business and like I fail, then my wife might, dude, me and my wife have already been through it all. Like we've been through the hard stuff. We've been to Africa in the middle of nowhere where we went to a tribe that had never seen a white person before. And we were pooping in latrines and we were not taking showers for a week. We've been into the 5-star resorts, but that, like, of course people are going to like that. We knew where we were going in life. So the opportunity that I had there, I didn't have to retire my wife from work. We didn't have the luxury of that crap. We were like, hey, we need to make money. So we should probably both work because two people working probably will make more money than if one person works. We had like the immigrant mentality of marriage. It's like the immigrant mentality is like, hey, we need to work. Like we need to make sure we make this happen. So they come here and they have all this extra drive and motivation because like they see the opportunity. And that was the same thing for us as well. And one of the big things that we did is, and a few things that we teach, and it totally transformed my life, is that first off, inside of our dating relationship and our marriage, we always kept our intimacy below our commitment level. So I didn't have sex with my wife until we got married. That's probably why we got married so fast. Like legitimately, I would have dated for 5 years. Well, I'm like, I don't even know how you did that. Like, I'm like, dude, I need to make sure. And so that also doesn't allow your like judgment to be cloud and whatever. So the opposite of that is one night stand. high intimacy, low commitment. Those are always awkward. I've seen people like they don't talk anymore. They don't even know how to talk because that's all distrust. Whereas when you put the intimacy below commitment, that's all trust. And so what that does is it allows us to communicate effectively. Because one of the big fears is that if my wife knows what I'm going through or what's real, I have guys all the time reach out to me. They're in all this debt and their wife doesn't know. They never have told them all these things, like, because they're afraid that they're going to leave them. So what this does, check this out, it's proven that you cannot fall deeper in love with something that you do not understand more. So the way to fall deeper in love is to understand something better. And so what happens is you get married or you're in a relationship and conflict happens. And what do people do? They brush it under the rug because they think if they have to work through the conflict and face it, then they're going to end up breaking up and they're going to have to, like, there's going to be problems. So they actually just sit in this very nasty state where they're drifting further and further apart. And they're always upset, but they always have this resentment because they're never actually concluding this argument or this like conflict that they're having. So what happens when you have massive commitment in the relationship? Respect, commitment, feeling of trust. Well, you have a conflict, and instead of waiting, you can communicate about the conflict. You communicate not to be right, but you communicate to understand, right? Like, why do you feel that way? Like, you want to understand, why do they feel that way? Why? Because how you feel is 100% your fault, and how they feel is 100% their fault. The opposite is codependency, right? I'm going to change you, you're going to change me. I don't feel good. Make me feel better. Like, that's codependency. It's really difficult. I think I even struggle with it, but that's the definition of it, whether it's truth and it sucks. So how I feel is 100% my fault. So when I come powerfully and we have a conversation that leads to like a conclusion, a better understanding, and those feelings go away, like those feelings of grossness, because now we've gotten a communication that we understand each other, then all of a sudden you fall deeper in love because you have a greater understanding and you get to recommit and you get to feel a deeper love than you felt before. Because it's building upon what you've always had. And most people, they fall in love and then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse because they've always allowed their intimacy below their commitment level. They're always afraid to talk about things. So they never get to communicate and be understood so that they could fall deeper in love and have those feelings again. And they never come back. So that's been the foundation of everything that we've done has been, let's communicate about these things quick. We have a high commitment level to each other that we will never leave each other. Like, unless we completely turn into completely different people, will never happen, right? Myron Golden has a great teaching about the difference between covenant and marriage is two people of equal trust going into a commitment together. And back in the day, like, you know, it was a really crazy thing. Whereas a commitment or a contract is two people of mutual distrust going into a relationship. I don't trust you, so we're going to sign a contract. So if you don't do what you say, I'm going to be able to get that. And the opposite. And so that's been the foundation of everything that we've done. We also made sure that we wanted the same things out of life. And I feel like we've consistently grown together every single day. We put our relationship over the business. Every week when we plan our week, we plan the things we're going to do together as a family intentionally before we plan out the business. It's always been the consistent thing. And I feel like those at least give you an opportunity to fall in love. Tactics don't work if you're not in love. But we do find that love can be very intentionally made. Meaning, if you're a husband or wife right now and you're feeling not connected or intimate, well, then fight for that. Text them daily. Start dreaming and thinking about them, the times that were good. Start saying, man, you look so great today. Start giving the compliments. Start feeding the love languages. Start putting your intention there rather than thinking about the other girls at the office, rather than looking at the other girls on Instagram, rather than looking at all the guys that are your son's karate teacher. And you're sitting there talking with him about your feelings rather than your husband, right? Because we just talked about understanding brains' feelings. So what happens, people just meet each other and they vulnerably share everything about their life and then they have this bond. They have this feeling of connection. Like, no, be disciplined. Discipline yourself and your love, right? It's so interesting. The Bible never describes love as a feeling.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild. Like, I always think like, oh, like love's like how you feel. Well, feelings change. But like, yeah, so those are the things that we've done and that have helped us so much. And the biggest thing is making the priority of the relationship over the other stuff. Doesn't mean it takes more time. Just means when push comes to shove, that's more important.
Oh, that makes good sense. That's, I mean, for only being 28, right? Still a young guy. Like that's some wisdom that I hope that even some of you who have been married for a long time can take to heart. So obviously we're getting kind of close down here to the end. Obviously, again, want to also respect your time. So a couple of quick things just to wrap it up here. On the Primal King podcast, those that follow along with it, they know we talk a lot about liberation, kind of the mindset side of it, the lifestyle that people want to live, and then the legacy of it. So you've written a book, you've had these big events, you've worked with all these men, you've reached millions of people. I guess, like, when you get to the end of this crazy, crazy existence here on earth, like, what do you want the legacy of Nicholas Baerle to be?
It's a really good question. So a few years ago, I would have wanted on my gravestone, most valuable man in the world. Like, that I was just so valuable to society and people and all this stuff. And I feel like a lot of that came from the feeling of not being valuable or not being valued. And I wanted that. Where I sit today, and again, this could change tomorrow. I'm not one to just tell you something that I don't actually believe or feel. But based on what I think today, I really don't care. For me, like, I've decided to put what does God want me to do and the will that he has for my life above, and his commandments above, any other type of thing that can come from a person. I get lots of praise from people. I get lots of hate from people. And it's like, you know, what really matters is the people that are closest to you that actually know you the most. You know you the most. So are you proud of you? That's number one. For me, I'm like, do I feel like I'm doing the things to reach my potential? That's number one, because I actually know me. I'm with me every freaking day. And it either sucks or it's good. Second one is maybe your spouse, closest person. What do they say? Not the followers, right? Like, all these people on social that are all these, like, huge celebrities, everyone loves them. Their kids don't talk to them. They've been divorced this many times. And I'm like, that to me is failure. To me, it's like, if everyone hates me, but these people are like, you're amazing. You're doing, like, you are your best. Like, you know what I mean? They're the ones who are like, oh my gosh, we love you. Like, you actually know me. These people don't know me. And most of the time, perception is people's reality. So for me, it's inwards, outwards. Like, inwards mattering the most to the external people, to the furthest person away that's never seen me before. And to this point, I'm like, man, I want to live a life doing the right things. Because a quote came to me at 18 years old. I remember sitting there in my house. I needed all this money and I didn't know how to make it. And I was praying because I was like, dude, I have no clue what to do. Like, I need 8,000 bucks and I've never made a dollar before in my life. And I just remember having this feeling, stop praying for it. And I was like, why? And it was almost like this feeling, well, if you pray hard for it, you feel like you earn it through, like, some type of work of prayer. I want you just to sit back and watch how I provide. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. So I ended up not doing any of it, like, never doing it. And this quote came to me, I'd rather do what I already know is right and be willing to fail in front of everyone in the world than do what I already know is wrong and succeed. In my heart, I felt like, don't work for it, don't pray for it, don't do this stuff. It's going to happen. And if I went out there and worked and did what society told me, I already failed because I already know I did the wrong thing. Even if I got the money, everyone would be like, oh my gosh, think about people in the jobs. You said there's people in jobs that they hate. Leave it. Life's too short. Like, you're doing the wrong thing. What you know is wrong, and you're succeeding in front of the world. But you're already doing what's wrong. Rather than doing what you know is right. For me, I'd rather do what I know is right and be willing to fail in front of the world. Because to me, I'm still having success because I'm ultimately doing what I know is right. Just crazy. So for me, it's become less about that. And it's been more about the times when I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, like, I'm doing it. I don't need the recognition of the people. I don't need them to tell me, good job giving enough, good job not giving so much, good job having boundaries. I've lived that life and I might change and maybe want to do something. But I do feel called to influence the influencers. I'm building my company to prove a system so that we could consult every major world leader. That's why I do what I do. I don't feel like it's my job to make the most money in the world. And if I do, then great. But for me, it's been all about the relationships, building trust and great relationships with people of influence, because it's tough to find good people that have trust of influential people. Everyone wants to serve the poor, right? It's not hard to be honored in front of the poor. You give them $20, you give them $100, you give them $1,000. They're going to be happy. They're going to be impressed by you. But if you say, you need, you know, George Soros, you suck, you know, like, you need to change. He looks at you and goes, who are you? You know, I remember I watched the founder of Facebook last night, the documentary thing, or the movie on it from 2010. And the guy who founded Napster and who was also a partner inside the company with Facebook looked at the guy and he's like, oh, I know about you. You hook up with all these young girls and you do drugs and all this stuff. And he's like, guess what I know about you? And he's like, what? He's like, nothing. because I've never heard of you, never read about you, never seen anything about you. You can read about me because I've done something, but you've never done anything. So I don't even know anything about you. And I feel like for me, that's what I'm called to do. And that's what I continue to strive for. That's what makes me excited every day.
That's awesome, man. Love it. So just to wrap it up here, if somebody does want to find you, where's the best place to follow along? Insta, Facebook, book, website? Where can people come and find you, find your content, find your coaching if they're into that? Like, where can they go?
Yeah, totally. So if it's a guy listening, we actually have a private Facebook group called the Billion Dollar Brotherhood on Facebook, Billion Dollar Brotherhood. Say you came from the podcast and we'll accept you. We deny usually about 350 per 100 accepted people. And so if you say that, you'll be able to get in. And right now it's 4,800 other guys that own businesses that are great people. And then on Instagram in general, Nicholas Bailey, would love to be able to chat, send me a DM, say what's up, and that way that I can say hi. And especially if you made it this far, it's freaking awesome. And if I went too long winded on the last one, I can answer any other question in like a very short fashion. That one was just really deep, dude. So I was like, man, I can't leave it short.
No, that's good stuff. I do want to ask you before we get out of here, like, do you think that answer has changed since you did become a dad? Like, has that changed the part of the legacy that you look at, or do you still feel like you're on the same trajectory with that?
Yeah, dude, if I wasn't a dad, I would just be working a heck of a lot more and doing all these, like, being way more intense in that area. What I found is that there's some things in life that are urgent but can wait. And there's other things in life that if you miss it, they never have an opportunity to come back.
Yep.
So I can always build a business when I'm 50, 60 years old. I'll still have my brain and maybe that day will never come, blah, blah, blah. But like, I could do that. But spending time running around with my son, like, I can't do that when I'm 60.
Yep.
Partially because he'll be like, you know, freaking 30 something years old at that point.
And, you won't be nearly as cool then, man. The kids won't think you're nearly as cool then.
Exactly.
Maybe so the grandkids will, I guess, but
I spend time with him and I do things in the way that I want. Again, it's easy for the world to say, this is how you have to do it. For me, I've always stood back and been like, man, like, what's the life that I actually want to live? What do I want to do? Do I want 1,000 employees, 100,000 employees? Or right now, do I want to make sure that I'm growing our influence, growing our skill sets and spending time with my son because I can never get that back, but I can always go solve more problems. I can always do that business meeting. I can always go speak at that thing another time. So I've always looked at like, what's urgent, but also what are the things in life that you can never, ever get back if you miss it? And for my son, those are things. Like, he changes so fast. So that's been the priority of me. I have only been to the office 2 times since January, partially because of COVID. But I could have gone many other times. But I'm like, no. Like, that's not what I want out of life.
It's great stuff, man. Well, hey, I really, really appreciate you hopping on here. And I know that there is so much value here and like literally probably like 15 different things, if not more, that people I hope are like writing down some of the quotes, some of the value, just amazing stuff. So thanks again. Thank you everybody for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.